talk. JD Bunger, Sam McKee. Leafs get pumped by the Vancouver Canucks. Buddy, I just tweeted it. I know you saw it. You shared it. This is about as bad one as it's going to get. Like, they get shut out after a game where the Stars completely disappointed and got caved in. They basically just did nothing in the first period. The power play gets just eviscerated. Some of the whipping boy stuff continues to pop up. Canucks have won two games in their last 10. I don't know if you know this because they didn't mention it all on the broadcast, but the Canucks, they actually just landed today. They had some flight issues.
Hadn't heard.
Yeah, you heard?
Oh, okay. No, I hadn't heard. That one slipped by me.
You hadn't heard. It got by, eh?
No one mentioned that.
This is a brutal loss.
Yeah. Listen, I try to not get too down in the weeds of the day to day on, you know, that you look at the standings, they're still in first, all this stuff. Sure. But this is completely unacceptable. Yeah. And they were booed off the ice tonight, and rightfully
perfect.
So.
Loved it. Didn't you love hearing the fans boo?
This is a marquee matchup. It's a Saturday night, a ticket in that building tonight. Mm-hmm. Lower bowl, conservatively 500. Around there for one ticket, maybe 450 around there for a lower bowl ticket.
There's some that get a lot pricier than that. That's for sure.
And you watch your team with a Canadian rival come in there and lots of fans there, and they just get to yuck it up in their face. They're a terrible team. They've been awful, like on and off all year. They're clinging to a wild card spot.
Mired in controversy.
Like the biggest drama show ever. Like all we ever talk about on Leafs Hour is what a big drama show they are. It's the days of our lives over there. All it is just everybody crying all the time. Yeah. And they come in here and they embarrass you. They pull the pants down. They give you a little spank on the bottom. And it's just a stunning lack of urgency, a stunning lack of compete, a stunning lack of jump. That first shift, the puck goes in and they folded up shop. It was ugly.
So you and I were texting before the game, like, what's going on?
I texted you Canucks money line at like noon today, by the way.
Yeah, it was, like I said, and what did I reply? I said, if Canucks weren't winners of two games their last 10, I'd be putting the house down on the Canucks in this spot. Yeah. I got a few things on that, but I'll start with this. You and I were texting about how, you know, for all the Berube bluster there is about accountability, the Leafs guys went minus a million. And you and I thought for sure they weren't going to see the ice together to start the following game.
Yes.
And boom, you see the lines come out and it's like Marner, Matthews, Knies, like back together again. Mm-hmm. And since Matthews been back, they've been mostly good. So you can kind of understand a little bit of the thinking. But again, the entire offseason, when it's about accountability and you see those guys get rolled out, you think to yourself, okay, you guys better come out like a house on fire tonight. You guys better dominate tonight. And they got outshot badly. It reminded me of the after the first period, it reminded me of the Sheldon Keefe, we got played out badly that period meme where he's wearing the mask trying to scream at the boys. We failed badly this period. That's what he said. That we got outplayed. And I wonder, Berube hasn't used any bullets this year. I'm curious to see what he's got to say after this one, because they got booed off the ice. He showed faith in his players. He's been pretty conservative when it's come to the pee-pee wax. Yeah. I want to see some Berube hard ass. I want to see the guy that led the league in like lowest points percentage for a player in games played in NHL history. I want to see that guy come out today. Yeah.
I want to see the guy that made Jordan Kyrou cry come out tonight. That's who I want. Like, that's what I would like to see tonight, because that is what they're deserving. Like, I had to go down, up and down the lineup. I'm looking at the line, trying to think of one positive thing, trying to think of one positive note I made the entire game.
I have literally zero.
Wow. I mean, I got a couple nail gun Dewar hits in there that he's still competing.
Dewar did have one nice hit that I wanted to text you.
He hammered Hughes along the end boards, got the puck off of him.
Yeah.
And then I think it led to a David Camp penalty like 2 minutes later or whatever for hold. But anyways, I thought that like there wasn't any positives. And I sent out like I always like to send out like I'm a pissed off tweet just to get the feeling of Leafs Nation after one of these, you know, just to see like how I'm feeling. And people think that they are not as good as the record is. And like, you know, that's a common thought amongst Leaf fans, is that they're at the top of the standings, but a lot of nights look similar to this. They just get a couple goals and then they get great goaltending. Like, where are you at on that?
So I'm of a couple minds. One is like, they've been the one thing that Brubé has actually done, obviously, is like change the rush chances, right? Like, they're a rush team anymore. And so they defend differently and they attack differently, like drastically. And so to me, this is kind of where, like, when this is the intersection of analytics and eye test to me, because to me, the Leafs are actually a better team than they were last year. They but if you look at like essentially any of the 5-on-5 numbers, like the power play numbers, the power play is down. We'll get to that in a second. But for the most part,
I got my knife sharpener behind the desk here for that.
For sure, bud. But if you look at everything other than like points percentage up until this point this season, I actually don't even know where they were last year at this point in time. But like, if you look at everything 5-on-5, it's telling you that the Leafs have taken a step back this year. And I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe that the Leafs are a far worse team that's just lucking out with goaltending. Do I think their goaltending has been a massive part of the season? Like, I don't want to say underrated, but like under-discussed with the record at times. Absolutely, it has been. They've missed Austin Matthews for a bunch of games. Like, sure, we get the excuses when it comes to the
tonight
offense.
Too.
Yeah, they sure have. But I think that there's a couple things with this team where it's like, when they have McCabe and Tanev, they finally have a shutdown pairing, and that matters immensely when they're trying to close games, tight games, when they have a lead. They've gotten much better goaltending, and I do think that they're a better team when it comes to the forecheck and playing in close games, which is the style that they're going to invoke. But do I think that like they are the natural feel of a team that is first in their division, that has a bunch of, you know, I wouldn't say amazing teams other than the defending cup champions? But like, there's good depth in the division right now, right? Like, even the Habs have turned it around. The Sens have turned it around. I think that the Leafs are not like some big fraud, like some people want to make it seem with the way that the numbers are and games are tonight. But I also don't think that there's like some remarkable departure from years past and that this team is like suddenly turned over some unbelievable, no pardon the pun, leaf that's going to all of a sudden change materially like the way I felt about them from seasons past.
Okay, that's a great answer to my question for you. I will say the eggs this year have been like harder eggs. I don't know. They're hard-boiled eggs.
Eggs, they've always been.
No, but like, the eggs, at least the old ones, they'd score three or four, or score two or three towards the end where they'd get
buzzed
around.
I guess you're right. It depends how you like your eggs.
Right?
You know,
right?
Like, you like them scrambled or hard-boiled?
Because they'd be down 4-0 to some crap team, then they'd score two and make it look, and they'd be buzzing around the net, and they'd pull the goalie, and they'd be going crazy, and that would be a thing. But this year, think of this. This one is remarkable. Think of the Columbus one earlier in the year, the St. Louis one earlier in the year. There's been a few this year that have been, feels like they lose by multiple goals. When they lose, it feels like it's a lot by a lot. I don't know. They have all these tight games, and then when they lose, they just like really, really lay these eggs. So I don't know if there's any truth to that. Total anecdotal. Didn't look at any stats. Could be totally wrong. But it definitely feels like they've had more blowout wins, losses for them this year than they have in years past.
I think that they've always been elite egg layers. I think that all teams lay eggs, and that if you like, this is a across the board fan take. Like, if you follow any team close enough and you watch 82 games,
totally
you're like, God, they lay some eggs sometimes. You're like, for sure they do. Every
Disregard.
No, and I'm not disregarding it.
No. You're right. You, sir, are right. And I am a fan who is mad as hell after watching one of the worst pathetic efforts I've seen out of the Leafs in a while. So,
okay, I got a few points of like deep aggravation for this one, and one is the power play. But I do want to start with this. Like, we are Vancouver's big brother. Like, I've said it a billion times. We are the Don Draper in the elevator. Like, we don't think about you that way. And guess what? We understand the relationship because it's us with the States all the time where we're like, we're Raptors fans, Boston, get up for the rivalry. And the Celtics are like, what?
Yeah.
You know,
the Jays and Red Sox have a great rivalry.
Yeah, like, you know, exactly. Yeah. Oh, Yankees, you're our divisional rival. They're like, dude, you're the Rays.
Pardon?
Like, you're no different. It's the exact same. Yeah. So we get it, but I don't like the Vancouver Canucks. Like,
oh no.
Let me put that out there. Like, I see the way their fans act online. It's crazy toxic, especially like seeing this drama with Pettersson and Miller. And just like, you ever read one of the tweets of what any of their media guys go through? That's hell on earth, bro. Like, you think Leafs Twitter is bad? Canucks Twitter is maybe pound for pound the worst fan Twitter that there is on the internet. Like, I'm not even trying to be over the top with that.
I'm telling you, like when we do the National Hour, like I tread so carefully when I talk about the Canucks, because it's just like Borny said something about, I don't know, like something so, I don't know what it was, like innocuous about like, oh, I'd trade this guy for this guy, just like at the end of a segment, like offhand. And one of the guys picked it up, and then he's like, Borny sends it to me. He's like, have you seen this? And I was like, dude, oh my God.
Vancouver is very much like Jays and Raptors Twitter, where it's like, if you're someone,
hey, look at me.
No, but it's like, if you don't cover the team, you get blasted for not covering the team. And then the second you talk about the team, you're like, you don't even watch team. What are you doing? Why are you talking about our team? So again, I get it. I empathize with Vancouver fans, man. I know a lot of them. Like, I get it, but I really do enjoy watching them fall apart. Like right as things, they felt like they were kind of getting good, and they've got this infighting happening. Mm-hmm. And this story tonight, like I'm telling you, the plane, and then they beat the brakes off the Leafs, and their fans boom off the ice. This just reeks of like the opposite of the 18-wheeler going off the cliff.
It turns around their season.
Yeah, like they're like, we bonded in like Toronto. Yeah. We loved it. We gave it to their fans. They went in the dressing room, and all their players were like, God, didn't that feel good to hear the Leafs fans boom off the ice? Yeah, we pounded those guys into sand. And then all of a sudden the Canucks that were just like, it's a disaster. They don't have a win on the road. They get this one, and they just tear off a bunch of wins. And all of a sudden Canucks fans are like, thank you to Toronto for turning our season around. And that's where I wish rivalries mattered. And that's where I wish there was like a little bit of that actual jam throughout the lineup a little bit, to recognize that it is Hockey Night in Canada, that you did stink the night before, that the Canucks do still matter a little bit, to just kind of like eviscerate them when they're like, kick them while they're down. It's sports. Belichick them, you know, be up 40 points and punch another touchdown in. And they didn't do it. And I hate it. And it adds a layer.
You know what, buddy? That's a fantastic take. And that thought never crossed my mind. And now I'm sad. I don't know what else to say. Like, that just really hurt. Like, it did. Like, you cut me so deep there. You twisted it. I was like, the Leafs turned around the Canucks season. Now they're going to go on a run. And all their fans, like, I don't know, one of the guys out there, the producer, Halford and Broff for Andy. He's already tweeting, good game tonight. Good game tonight. I'm like, thanks, Andy.
They only ever asked me to do the show when something's going bad with the Leafs.
I've done it twice when they're in this. But here's the thing. I only call them when the Canucks are crap in the bed. Sure, so it's a two-way street.
Yeah, it's a two. I'd have them on all the time because I love that show.
Yeah.
We just have when I'm on my winter hours, I've got like the right across from them. Yeah. And so it just like, it doesn't work out. But God, I do love those guys. Yeah. And they are
fantastic radio show.
That's honestly one of the best shows that there is. If you're a Canucks fan, I'm jealous that you have that show. Okay. So the biggest thing that I'm just like, you know, we don't have to do sample size anymore. Leafs have, I think in terms of like talent, pound for pound, the worst power play in the NHL. Like, I know 100%.
They're the worst.
They're 19th maybe now, because they were 18th before this game. So I'm just going to assume over three, drop them a spot. Okay. I'm just going to assume that they fell one spot tonight in the power play rankings. This was
Who's the actual worst? Is it the Islanders? I'm just looking up.
I think it actually is the Islanders. That's a good pull, because I was looking at it the other day, and I think it is the Islanders, because I was looking. Do you know why I looked at it? Because I thought that same question, like, who is worse than the Leafs?
Yeah, so this probably won't be up to date on NHL.com after tonight, but Islanders are indeed the worst.
Natural Stat Trick is always up to date. Like
I just went to NHL.com. So the Islanders and then the Bruins are second last, but yeah. I mean, the Leafs came into the game 18th tonight, like you said, and they've probably gone down.
Oh, it's just, what was that tonight? Like, did they have a shot on the power play?
Here's what it did. It killed this game for them.
Yeah.
It absolutely, so Alex just said two of the three Leafs power plays finished with no shots tonight.
I can't remember what the other shot was on the, would win on the first one then.
It's just, and they're giving up chances. Yeah. I've made this comparison before. But they are full on yipping right now. Like, they are around the greens trying to chip one on like it's an easy chip, and they're sculling it across the green. They can't make the right play. They can't make the right pass. They just don't have any chemistry, seemingly, even though they've been playing the same five guys for 5 years here. Mm-hmm. They have zero chemistry. They have zero urgency. It's just, I mean, we've had the same conversations 100 times, but they're just having all the top guys in the top unit creates exactly zero urgency, and they all think they're the coolest guy in the world on the ice. They all want to dust it off. They all want to make the perfect pass. They all want to make the perfect shot, and it's just one and done. always one and done. There's never a puck battle one. There's never a guy that digs it out and gets it to the front of the net. It's a failed cross-ice pass, intercepted, clear. Failed entry, intercepted, clear. Pass it around the outside, maybe try to get it inside to John Tavares, and he tries to chop it home. And that's your offense on the power play. It's a horrible watch, and it's unacceptable how bad it is. It's horrible.
It's Luke. It's Swad Dog tonight.
The Swad Dog.
Swad Dog cut these great, but it's like, if you're watching on YouTube, just like look at these passes that they're making.
All awful.
On the power play tonight. They are beating it into a square. This reminds me of when you and I used to make fun of like Hyman and Brown playing
the
with
chops.
Yeah.
The
with Matthews. It was just like they'd be out there just beating the puck into a square. And we were like, oh my God. Like these guys, they sure like they can skate and they try, but they can't play. It's like, no. These are the $11 million boys. Like this is the double digit millions club out here. And they're looking like this. Like so many of these plays just felt rushed. There just doesn't feel like when is there a plan? These are the two things that I know the Leafs want to do. Okay. One is the drop pass to get entry in a zone, right? Drop pass to either Nylander or Marner who carries the puck into the zone. And then they try to get Willie out on the flank to get a clean look from time to time. Like he seems to touch it and handle it and like get at least a peek at it more than anybody else. The end of list. Like, I don't know what else.
Sorry that I'm not laughing at you. I'm just watching these highlights on Sportsnet Plus YouTube.
Yeah.
This is the most insane. Like, is this the zigzags?
No.
Power play? Like, no one can make a pass. It's unacceptable.
This is like when you and I go watch the Oshawa Generals play and you're like, boy. The skill level really drops off. Like we get spoiled watching NHL hockey. You know, actually the better comparison is whenever I watch like an EPL game, because all I ever get is like, you know, MLS. I go to, you know, an MLS game with you and I watch the TFC game and I don't really watch soccer. And then I watch Premier League and I'm like, whoa, that's how they pass the ball.
These guys are good.
That's what crosses look like. Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah. That is unbelievable.
It's a great comparison. TFC it's like version. Watching the Jets power play is like watching Manchester City and then watching the Leafs is like watching MLS. That's exactly right.
That's exactly it. It's like, what is this product tonight? And so, yeah, I just think that, again, I'm back to the old solution of I feel like they've been switching up the Riley Nyes, which of you two guys is in here on any given night. But to me, at this point, Savvy, it's time for two power plays. It just is. You got to break all these guys up, have two different units. Nylander runs one of them, Marner runs the other, and figure out the personnel around them. I don't care who goes with who, but have two units. Each unit gets a minute. Stop worrying about the feelings because this is dreadful, and we've seen it over and over and over again. It's not working, man, and nothing's going to change. And again, I think this is more on the players and the coach. I said it last show that this is like not a – like if you're doing that this is all Savvy, then you're doing Blue Jays hitting coach stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's been other power plays that have been better than the Leafs that they've had in regular seasons, but we've seen stretches like this from this group over and over and over again. It's never been quite this bad, but God, it's time for two units. Let us people just see two units. Again, accountability. Let me just see a little bit of that accountability, Brubeck.
A couple things, both from my co-host on Real Kipper and Born. Kipper is one of his tentpole takes about the Leafs that they don't pass well.
Oh, dude, and he's going to use these clips. Like, if you want Kipper, I thought the same thing. If
they don't pass.
They can't roll.
Yeah.
Luke, send this to Kip. Yeah. Send it to him for his next setup. When he does the next regional game, he can just use the highlight pack from tonight as exhibit A of his argument.
And it's just, they don't make any tape-to-tape passes, and you watch the good ones, and everybody's got a role in the power play, and everybody's snapping it around. There's movement, and it's just no one's moving. And like, who's a good passer on the power play? It's Marner.
Yeah.
Then everybody funnels to Marner, and they make him rush it, and they clog the lanes, and there's just nothing for him. And then it's like, you know, Willie can pass. Obviously, all these guys are NHLers, are good passers, but like above average, elite power play one on a good team passers. Riley's not a great passer. Tavares is not a great passer. Mm-hmm. It's just there's no really good movement out there, and it's hard to watch. And then Borny always says, like, what's there? And you kind of mentioned it in your preamble there, but what's the set play? Mm-hmm. You think about all these other power plays across the league have the set play where Kucherov does sort of the half clapper pass slash shot that he can do. And then, you know, you're trying to set up Ovi for the Capitals, you know, Connor trying to set up Connor with the one timer. No one hits a one-timer clean except Willie once in a while, but they don't have a set play that they can go to.
But they also you're right about the dusting it off. Like, they just don't snap it around sometimes. It's like, boys, the puck moves fast, and there's just way too much of, like, each guy takes his little turn with the puck, and they're like, oh, I'm going to try to create a little space. Yeah. Just move the puck, man. Or I hate to be, like, the shoot guy.
And if
seems so obvious to me when I watch other power plays. It's like, you know what the other units do? They zip it around. Yeah. Like, watch this pack. Is there ever times where it's like, bang, bang.
What is that pass going to do?
No, like, never.
Into his feet over two sticks where he's covered. Anyways, and you go all night watching this.
Yeah, I know. And great point by, I want to get this right, PD St. George. He just says, Tavares on the power play is great until he needs to pass. He cannot pass the puck. I actually think, like, out of all the guys when it comes to playmaking, yeah, his, like, really showed up poorly tonight. And it is kind of a thing that when he's on the half wall, he's kind of the guy that he'll win battles for them, for sure.
For sure.
He'll make plays in front of the net, for sure. But, yeah, when he's got to make a pass, he's got to make one of those plays. It's definitely not his forte on that unit. No. All right. Anything else on the power play? Like, I feel
no,
like
it's please, God. I just don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, just get the highlights off the screen, honestly.
Thanks, Juan Dog. You listened very closely there and well got it done.
Take it down. Yeah, I don't even know, man.
Hillbilly? Like, oh, sorry. No,
Hillbilly.
Crap. Kipper has been accidentally calling him Hillbilly on the show, and we were making fun of him for it. And then I just did it by accident because we were making fun of him. Hillbilly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hillbilly. Yeah. I don't know. I told you, my sneaky take is that he's too big, which is the dumbest thing. But
he can't, he just too, his range of motion is not good because he's too large.
He just looks a little. Like, he looks a little cumbersome. Like, it's just like, how much of that is him versus the equipment? He's massive, dude.
It's so Gustafson vibes, man. It's just, I've seen this before where it's like the big goalie that makes like the spectacular saves. And
he's bigger than Gus too.
But like, he just, the way he looks in there and like the tricklers around his crease where he just doesn't seem like he's tracking it. He's a young goalie. I think he's got potential because of his size. He's been pretty good for them in a couple games this year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Stolarz coming back, whatever the hell that is. What was it?
He's going
to
skate next week on his own?
He was potentially going to skate next week on his own.
Yeah, but you and I have already said it. He's not coming back until after Four Nations. Yeah. Like, once Four Nations finishes, if he's not practicing and if he's not like gearing up for games, that's when you start to wonder if something bad happened or if, you know, the Leafs lied again about an injury or the timeline of an injury. But at this point, it's like, I don't know, I'd go back to Murray. I there's no difference. Both these guys are just
he's better than Murray.
All right,
Murray's too stiff. Like, he's too, like, I you know, God love the guy. He's had a phenomenal career. He's been grinding for them in the Marlies and like doing everything he should, but you know, He's just too slow and stiff in there. Like, he's just not. He's not. At least Hildeby has some promise, and he's young.
Rebound control.
He's athletic. Yeah. I mean, listen, we're talking about third and fourth string NHL goalies here. Yeah. You're not going to be having, you know, it's not going to be whoever coming up here. It's not going to be pretty. But I definitely would, you know, we're arguing the merits of Hildeby versus Murray. I'm not going to die on either hill here.
No, I don't care about either. But the broadcast simmer was going on about how it was like, you know, he didn't like that they didn't play Wool tonight. Like, if he's going to be the man, play him. I obviously said on the last show that I thought it was a decent spot to rest and play Hildeby. Like, rest Wool, play Hildeby, give him a breather and condensed schedule. I still stand by it. Like, doesn't matter if he played well tonight. Leafs weren't going to win. How many periods before the Leafs would have gotten a goal?
I don't know. Like, what was their best scoring chance?
That's what I mean. Dude, they were just perimeter team tonight.
Yeah.
They had zero interest of going to the dirty areas or trying to get to the middle of the ice. Like, again, a Canucks team that's not exactly the most imposing, physical, difficult team in the NHL. And they were just like, nah, we'll be along the boards.
We'll be over here.
We'll be over here. You guys don't worry about the middle there. That's your territory. We don't want to be intrusive. We don't want to overstay our welcome. We'll just be here on the outside and hopefully we get a power play so that we can turn some pucks over and give you guys some odd man rushes with and some shorthanded opportunities. Until then, we're throwing this game away.
Quickly, before we go here, can we talk about the JT Miller thing that we were texting about, or do you want to expose that to air?
Well, I think no one would do it, but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I texted Sam. Well, I hate when people do this and then they don't say it. I just texted Sam. I was like, Riley and Minton for JT Miller, who says no? And here's the thing. I weirdly think both sides say no.
I think Canucks say no before Leafs say no.
The reason why I thought of it is like both guys are from Vancouver. It's like you try to sell them on like going home caring and really trying to like build up some Canucks culture. Obviously, Riley, high character guy, helped settle down the room. Minton, high character kid who is going to care deeply about being a Canuck. And you know, you've got a third line center there on the cheap for a bunch of years coming up.
God,
and
you're doing a great job, Brad. This is a great sell, brother.
Well, and for the Leafs, you get
Mr. Treliving's crushing it right now.
Well, for the Leafs, the reason, like, you know, I'm really reluctant to throw Minton in trades because of that reason. But it's like now if you're bringing back JT Miller, you're set down the middle for the next 3-4 years. Yeah. So who cares about what you've got coming up in the pipeline there?
I love him, man.
I do too. He plays great.
He looked great tonight, and he's just nasty, and he cross checks you every time you go by him, and he just drives the puck. And like, he's obviously a little bit turnover prone and like prone to do a little bit of a dumb thing here or there because of just like basically the dog in him. But God, like what a change up to the Leafs that would be if you could add that guy. I really, really like him.
You can tell, was Swad Dog on the last show? Squad Dog, were you on last show?
No, I don't think so.
No, why? He wasn't. Okay, because I was gonna say, you know who made our chat again is that Patrick G Mafia guy.
Elliot Friedman said Cowan and Minton's value is lower than ever. Is that true? I don't know if that's is that confirmed.
I don't know. That. I didn't see that. I don't know. Didn't spell then correctly, but I'm not going to be that guy. Like, anyways, it was show. Yeah, right. It was show. Okay. I was like, all right. Just a brutal game. Awful game. I want to hear Berube after.
I was just checking to see if he said anything, but there's still no quotes trickling in yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
But I went to check a couple of the Leafs guys that follow it. But
here's the thing. Canucks absolutely say no, but it's like they tried to trade him for Zibanejad. So I'm like, how far off are you? I don't think it's crazy.
No, I don't think it's crazy.
And then
either.
If you're the Leafs, you bump OEL up to second unit, left side. Mm-hmm. And then you got to spend some resources figuring out another defenseman to bring in on the right side. And it puts a deeper emphasis on trying to find like another blue liner that can move the puck. But yeah, I don't know, man.
The Riley thing's bad.
It's really bad. I was like, I saw you guys tweeted out, or like you tweeted out, like you guys were having a discussion of like whether he's a whipping boy or not. And I was like, I don't even know what reality you're living in right now if you don't think he is.
I was saying, of course, no duh, he is. And they were no, no. They're like, of course, Kipper's like, Marner gets it way worse.
Kipper. Yeah.
Anyways. But no, Riley was, he was talking about.
In totality, for sure. Yes,
no question. But right now, right now, it's Riley's at the top of the list. And I got buds coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Text me, like, you know, deep buds that I haven't heard from in a while. I'll be like, boy, 44 is tough.
But
like,
44 is a whipping boy to his own coaching staff. Like he's like what on the ice time and like ice time per game? Third?
Yeah.
He's third. And then it's like, you know, he gets taken on and off the power play. Like Berube obviously doesn't love him. It's just
he played 23-33 tonight.
There's no McCabe.
Yeah. Led the team. So, and I'm just looking at the ice times if there's
McCabe is healthy, he's number three.
Yeah.
100%. So he's number three defenseman making 7.5, playing for a coach that really doesn't love his skill set. And like, anyway, just I think that the difference is like why he's not like a pure classic whipping boy is that most Leaf fans really root for Morgan Riley.
Oh, he's heart and soul guy.
Yeah. Like with Marner, I think that there are, and a lot of people wouldn't admit this, but there definitely are Leaf fans that are like secretly rooting for his failure to come playoff time so they can say I was right. Hopefully that they move off of him. Whereas with Morgan Riley, I don't think that there's like a single Leaf fan that's like hoping for him to fail because their take has been, aha, this guy sucks and you got to get rid of him and I hate his guts. Like, it's a bit of a different whipping boy, but anyways, tough.
He's taking it. He's taking it really bad. And it just, you know,
every dumping when he's on the ice, you're just like, okay, cool. They're getting a shot.
Yeah. And it doesn't come out clean like it used to. Made a good play where he jumped up and he hit the post tonight. That was one good play that he made tonight. But outside of that, not a lot of good. So
yeah, it was good.
Tough one him.
Subscribe to this podcast. Leave 5 stars. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @JD Bunkus @Sammy McKee. What to plug? My show Monday. I can't wait to have Brady Quinn on to talk about Notre Dame. I got Versteeg. I've got Wayne Simmons this week on my podcast. So nice. Tune in for that. Yeah, I'm excited to talk to Wayne. What do you got? Anything?
Nothing really. Steve Bellicat every Tuesday.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on Tuesday.